You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the trust you put in people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 276 of the Shared Security Podcast. And joining me this week is my world famous co-host, Kevin Johnson.
World famous. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, that actually strikes, it bothers me.
A chord?
Right now. just the other day, we're, and I probably shouldn't share this. I really probably shouldn't. So.
Oh boy.
You know that I'm an IONS faculty.
Yeah.
IONS resells my services.
Yes.
Right. So companies can go to them and say, hey, I need a pen test.
Mm-hmm.
They come to me and say, hey, they need a pen test and whatever. Right. So, this company goes to IONS. I'm not going to name them. I'm not even going to say what financial vector they're in or whatever you call that. What is it? Not financial vector. Industry. Where did financial vector come from?
Vertical? You mean
vertical?
Like financial,
that's
vertical?
What I'm thinking.
That's the proper business term. Yeah.
Ooh. Well, I'm not a proper business person. You know that.
I know.
So they come to IONS. They're like, hey, we need a pen test. IONS goes, hey, you know what? No problem. Kevin's team at Security is can do that. So Jason gets on the call with them, does everything. Wow, you know, that's great. Da, da, da. The client comes back when Ian sends them the SOW and says, hey, this is awesome. Really liked Jason. Guy's smart as anything. But here's a question. Why should we go with Secure Ideas instead of a company that people actually know about?
Wow.
Right. And like,
ouch.
They didn't say it as rudely as that may have come across, but it was like, you know, they're like this no-name organization, whatever. And so Jason's like talking to me and he's like, okay, so how do we, like, one, let's not get into how have we failed at being known by this organization.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's, I'm not world famous, I don't believe, but I believe that security.
You actually are, but yeah. Anyway,
Security has somewhat of a reputation, name, whatever. But here's the best part, and I hope you hear the sarcasm in the answer. Best, we did this exact same pen test for this company 4 years
Stop.
Ago.
Stop. Are you serious?
Dead serious. We were the pen testers that worked with them. They loved us. At the end of the pen test, they came back and they were like, oh my gosh, this was the best we ever had. You guys are awesome. Everything else. 4 years, they don't know who we are.
Yeah, who are you guys?
Like, who are you? This is one of the problems with working with resellers, right? Because our customers, we
exactly.
have direct
that
impact,
makes sense.
Everything else.
Sure.
Like that. But it was like, I'm hurt.
Yeah, I'd be hurt. I'd be a little hurt. A little hurt.
So, yeah.
Well, we don't have Scott today because Scott is in Japan.
That's what he says.
His son is getting married. So,
Which
wish him.
Congratulations, Scott's
son. Yeah, congratulations to Scott's son. It's awesome.
Yeah. I like how neither of us know his son's name.
No.
So it's just Scott's son.
It's just Scott's son. But apparently.
Maybe his name is Scottson. Like my name
Scottson.
Is Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scottson. Okay. Well, we do have some stories that are sure to get Kevin going this week. And the first one is about juice jacking. And this one kind of goes back. I had this in my in the back burner, so to speak, because like I always do, I have these stories that I feel that Kevin wants to comment on. So I keep them for situations like this where I just know Kevin is going to have some opinions. But the whole thing is that the FBI came out with this warning that we all need to be on the lookout for.
Oh man,
juice jacking, and be careful where you plug your phone or your iPad or whatever at an airport and all these random USB ports, right?
Am I the only person that when they say juice jacking, I can't even say it right.
Can't even say it.
When they say juice jacking, that I immediately think of steroid juice and huge bodybuilders. That's where my brain goes. Like, oh yeah, we should be aware of that because that's dangerous.
I think of stealing a little kid's juice box at their lunch table or something.
Oh, so it's Capri Sun theft.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Not
that
a sponsor.
Is much more dangerous than actual juice jacking through a USB port. in my opinion.
I think my favorite part about this, and for the people who don't know what this stupid ass topic is, is this idea, which, well, let's be very clear, it's a real threat, right? Was it 2011 that they demoed it at DEF CON or something like that? Like, hey, look, we can have this malicious charging station. You plug in and it's going to steal your data. And the guy, Marcus, man, I really did read this article. he actually came out and said, like, look, the reason we did this was less, and I'm paraphrasing, less about, oh my God, these malicious charging ports. It was more about, hey, let's be aware that the default setting in these phones and devices is to just synchronize data, which, by the way, is no longer true. So that's good.
Yeah.
And so, like, I happen to agree. Yes, that's a bad thing. If you leave your phone with me and I plug it into my computer and it automatically syncs all your data with no record to you that's easily for you to know, that's a threat, right?
Yeah.
I can think of many, many ways that's bad. Here's why I know this is almost a useless awareness post. So the FBI comes out and says, juice jacking. And I'm like, okay, whatever. 5 days later, the FCC comes out and says, juice jacking.
Yep.
And that's bad. When Brian Krebs reached out to the FBI and said, hey, why did you do this? Like, what is this threat? Like, did you, like, is it an uptick? Oh man, all of BWI has been taken over by juice jacking charging ports. And the FBI said, oh, we did it because the FCC did it. And it's a PSA thing.
Unbelievable.
But here's the thing. The FCC did it 5 days after the FBI.
Yeah.
And I know they probably talked and they knew it was coming and scheduled and stuff like that. But this is, look, FBI, FC, whatever. Every single time they do something like this, it gets attention. And here's my point. That's great. But how about we pay attention to things that are real risks?
Like, yeah, real threats.
Like,
this is,
hey, you haven't patched your Windows machine in 37 years. Maybe you should do that.
37 years. Oh my gosh. What operating system would you be running for 37 years ago? That's the question.
I don't know. I can't even think of 95.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, 95 is less than 37 years. Man, I'm bad at math.
Windows 3.1, maybe.
Okay, so we're at 23.
Yeah. Let's subtract.
Oh man. This is one of those cases where, you know what? Yes, this is a threat. It is a risk. It's significantly less of a risk today than it was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, right? Because of the changes in the operating system on our phones.
Yeah.
Right? Like
I also want to say, yeah, there was another article, which I'll link in the show notes too, on Ars Technica, that literally they went out and did the research, but there have been no documented cases of juice jacking ever taking place in the wild.
But let me ask you a question about that, because I read that as well. How would they know?
I mean, I think you just do your research, right?
No, but
media
my
reports.
Question is, if you're the victim, you went to the airport. I spend way too much time in airports, right? If I was at an airport and I just plugged into a malicious charging port that somehow stole my data, let's go with it, right? How would I know it happened? How would I know to report it? How would I know?
That is a good point.
Like, this is the problem with most of these things that we talk about. Like, it's the same question I've asked for years, right? As somebody who is actively using SSL2 right now, for the people who don't know, it's the sound system
recording device. Yeah.
Recording. Yeah. But I giggle because it's called an SSL2. And
which is insecure, but yeah.
Right. It's not encrypted at all. And so it's like these encryption things. Well, you have to be using TLS 3.7.6 or you're totally insecure. Yeah. I made up that version, by the way. For the people who are listening, like, what is Kevin talking about? Tell me when we've had a breach that was caused. The breach was caused by SSL 1. right? Like, not, oh, there's this theoretical thing. And my it's an unfair question. Because when people get breached, rarely do they know
that's a great
the
point.
Exact way they came in, right? And so we're working on not invalid data, but incomplete data. And it's incomplete in a way that I don't know. And I'm not that smart. We know that. I'm an idiot. But I don't know a way that we could solve that issue.
Yeah.
How we get... So that's why I say I hesitate to agree that this is not a threat at all because it's never happened. I know that's not what you said. I'm extrapolating further. Because I don't know that we know it's never happened. Yeah. I would agree that I doubt it's happened, and I doubt highly that it's happened on a wide scale spread to the level the FBI should be commenting on it.
Yeah. And that's the point. I think the threat is a little overblown.
Well,
to the regular person.
Yep. And here's why that bothers me so much, right? Okay, so the FBI put out a release. I have customers, I have organizations that I work with that they have a policy that's enforced.
Yeah.
That they have to respond to that kind of thing. I have a customer.
That's a
every
wow, yeah.
single time the FBI puts out a release like this, I get a formal notification from my customer that I am required by contract to respond to within 2 business days. And I have to give them an outline of how I am responding to that threat. The cost that this PSA has incurred on businesses
is
enormous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for something that we all know is not that big a deal. So
it's
almost like we shouldn't
trust everything the government tells us.
I don't know why you would ever say that. The government has never lied to us.
Oh, God.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring, static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So moving on.
Yes.
let's talk a little bit about AI, in particular, a case about a photographer who tried to get his photos removed from an AI data set only to receive an invoice charging him.
When he just that's skipping a couple steps.
When he just wants to have his photos taken down. So this is a stock photographer, essentially, and his photos got wrapped up into one of these AI data sets where, you know, it pulls photos off the internet or what have you. And the challenge here is, you know, what's considered copyright, you know, essentially photo.
I disagree.
It's interesting.
I disagree. I think that is a core question that has not been answered. But here's I don't think copyright is the core issue is this copyright violation. I think that is an issue. I think the core issue here is a lack of understanding of technology.
That too. Yes. Right?
I mean, in this case, and I'm repeating what they said because I don't know enough about this model and how it works. I'm, like I said, I'm an idiot. But the photographer went out to the, you know, have I been trained? And it said, yes, your images were used as part of this training set. And so the photographer said to the training set people, hey, delete my photos. You should not be using my photos. You have a copy of my photos. Stop it. And the The response he got back was, no, we don't have your photos. Yes, we use them temporarily as part of our thing, but we have nothing we can delete because we're not maintaining the photos. And I know we can argue whether or not they're really, you know what I mean? Like the metadata from the training.
Sure.
And I'm using the term metadata badly there, but the metadata from the training, we could argue whether that constitutes maintaining the photos or not, right? But they don't have the photos to delete. So he gets that response and he disagrees with it.
Yeah.
So he puts in a formal request. His lawyer says, hey, you better delete that data or we're going to sue. And the organization writes back and says, hey, we told your guy we don't have his data to delete. So putting a requirement to make us delete it is invalid. And you know what? If you keep this up after we've told you that we can't, right, we're going to sue you for our costs, which I think that's legitimate.
And the they sent idea him a bill. Of,
hey, yeah. you're forcing me to do this. So to me, the core problem here is that we don't understand how the technology is working. And I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that it's okay for these models to use this data or anything else like that. But this is why when we, and I've said this many, many times, when we have laws that are based on a misunderstanding of technology, all we're doing is causing ourselves issues.
Yeah.
So the question isn't, can they maintain the data and without deleting it? The question is the metadata copyrighted?
Right. That was one of my points. And then I think the other is, and I think I just go back to data scraping in general, right? Because we've talked about this in terms of social media, right? How we've had bots and scripts and everything scraping LinkedIn, scraping Facebook and all of that. And what is considered public information, right? And if your data is part of public information, that can now be used in these AI data set models, which is uncharted territory now, like you said, because they don't quite understand how the technology works.
Well, and this goes back, let's ignore AI for a second, right? If you go to the Louvre, I think that's how you pronounce that, and you sit in front of the Mona Lisa, and it's beautiful, it's amazing, it's a classic. And then you paint a picture based on the Mona Lisa. Not a copy of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, your own rendition of it.
Right. That is 100% allowed. Yeah. Right? Internationally allowed. Andy Warhol is a great example.
Oh, yeah, great.
Right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Andy Warhol is a classic artist whose art used copyrighted and trademarked images in his way.
Yep.
And that was allowed. And he sold, and you can, and you know, the Andy Warhol estate or whatever can still sell prints of those. AI is that at scale.
Yeah.
So the question is, what's the threshold for it to be okay and not okay? And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer.
I know. We don't know. I don't think anybody has the answer yet.
Yeah. I personally believe I am okay with this.
Yeah.
Now, I want to preface that with, I'm not an artist. Right? And no AI system has taken my training materials and made a training class that competes with me. Right?
Not yet. So, sure.
Not yet. So now I'm not, like, would I feel differently? I can't answer that honestly. I don't know the answer. But I lean toward, if it's a rendition based upon, not a copy, I'm okay with it. And I understand the reasoning that people are upset about it. I understand the idea of compensation and things like that and what have you. So I don't know what the right answer is, but I am hoping that the good outweighs the bad.
Yeah.
I like the idea. And I just saw it. I've said this for a while. I know I've talked about with you, right? That I believe that AI and deep fakes and all these kind of things will help educate people better, whatever. I just saw it. I just saw an ad for a piece of software that it was a curriculum to help teach history. And what they did was they took pictures and paintings of the old philosophers and historic figures and whatever. And they did exactly what I've said forever. I said forever that I would have memorized the Gettysburg Address easier if Abraham Lincoln had told it to me, right? Like if there was a video of Abraham Lincoln, that's why it's easier to memorize the I Have a Dream speech than Gettysburg Address for me, right? And that's what they did. They animated these images. They used deepfake technology and AI to make this curriculum come to life in video. And to me, that's such a great thing. And yeah, I'm probably wrong. And I'm missing a whole bunch of nuance and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think the request to remove your images, if the images don't exist, your request is wrong. We can argue whether the law should be updated.
Yeah. So our last story, Google Authenticator Cloud Sync. Security not up to task.
I love this one.
Yeah. This is, I think we've bashed Google Authenticator a long time ago.
Yes.
Because if you remember, it used to save everything locally to your device. And
no
if backups. If you got a new phone, it didn't back up your 2FA codes and you were scrambling to.
And it was worse because there were options available that did it. Authy is the example I use.
I use Authy as well.
Yeah. So matter of fact, I think I learned about Authy from you.
You did. Yeah.
So I think this is awesome. And I think the best part of this article. So I interrupted you by laughing. I'm sorry.
No, continue.
The article basically, Google Authenticator now has the ability to back up those secrets. They encrypt in transit. They encrypt on the device.
Yep.
They do not have end-to-end encryption.
No.
Right? And okay, that's bad. I would hope that everybody listening to this podcast knows why not having end-to-end encryption of the secret that is the foundation of two-factor authentication is bad. But my favorite part is the answer from Google.
Yes.
Well, you know, if we did this, it could cause problems and lock people out of their accounts. So, okay. Yeah. So you gave the same answer everybody else did. We don't want to provide technical support, so
that's
we implemented something
really
insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done. We're not willing to spend the money to fix this correctly, so we implemented some half-assed, partially baked solution that is less secure. I won't say insecure. I will say less secure than it should be because of cost. And you know what? For a company that has a market cap of $87 quadrillion, I might be exaggerating. That's a bad look.
Yeah.
like if this was a mom and pop, like, hey, I'm some dude that built an authenticator app in my garage and I'm hoping to make do. I could kind of accept this answer. Right. Yeah. But Google, do better. And this is a personal pet peeve. They have the audacity to have a group that they pay for to test other people's stuff and point out insecurity problems. And my answer is, really, did your zero trust group not look at this?
Ouch.
Right?
Yeah. Do you eat your own dog food, right?
Take the mote out of your own eye before you bother somebody else.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, that's the part. Like, and I'm not saying they didn't look at it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if your own system is this fundamentally flawed, stop bitching about other people.
Well, as I always say, friends don't let friends use Google Authenticator. There's my quote of the day for everyone.
I like it.
Yeah. I like use Authy. Thank you. So with that, I think that's all we have time for today, Kevin.
So.
It was great having you. We will maybe get Scott when he's back from his journey to the other side of the earth.
Yeah, he's out for like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, two weeks. Yeah. So, but he'll be back with us. But until then, we will talk to everyone again next week.
Thanks for listening or watching. If you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. To catch all the latest from the podcast, visit us at sharedsecurity.net. Follow us on Mastodon at sharedsecurity, on Twitter at sharedsec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit.